This session will cover breast cancer. So it's important to recognize at the outset that risk for the malady increases with age, right? So the lifetime risk of a female patient contracting breast cancer is about 1 in 10. And what are the risk factors? Well, let's go over them. And I'm going to divide them into two buckets. One, genetic syndromes, and second, other risk factors. So genetic syndromes, right? These are genetic predispositions that should be screened for at the beginning of at least 10 years before the earliest onset of cancer in the family history, right? And there are a couple things that you want to keep in mind here. First, BRCA1, this is associated with a dramatic risk of breast cancer here at about 56 to 85% over the lifetime. Of ovarian cancer, the risk rate is going to be 15 to 45% over the lifetime of the patient. And prostate cancer for male patients, because men get breast cancer too, but this is going to be less frequent. And autosomal, it is a autosomal dominant inheritance. The second gene that you want to keep in mind is going to be BRCA2. This is associated with breast and ovarian cancer, and also associated with pancreatic cancer and melanoma. BRCA1 and BRCA2 account for about 50% of all inherited breast cancers. Third, Cowden syndrome, right? This is a PTEN gene mutation. It's rare, but there is a risk of breast cancer that is about 25 to 50% over the lifetime of the patient. Fourth, you want to consider ATM mutations, right? Fifth, Lee-Fraumeni syndrome, right? So breast cancer, along with sarcomas, brain tumors, leukemia, lymphoma, and adrenal cancer can accompany this syndrome. And for most patients, there is no identified genetic predisposition, right? It's important to keep that in mind. But other risk factors include a family history of an early age onset of breast cancer, early menarche, late menopause, Rubenesque patients may be at increased risk, nulliparity, or late age at first pregnancy, and this is controversial, but some physicians do think that estrogen replacement therapy can place patients at risk. Tamoxifen, finally, can reduce the risk of breast cancer for female patients at high risk, but is associated with an increased risk of blood clots and endometrial cancer. So our discussion moving forward is going to be divided into three separate areas. First, I'll talk about the differential diagnosis, your actual diagnosis, and finally, treatment options as well as prevention. So what does the differential diagnosis look like? Well, you want to differentiate fibrocystic disease, fibroadenoma, abscesses, adenosis, scars, as well as metastasis, right? So that's your differential. Your actual diagnosis, four things to keep in mind. First, breast cysts can be evaluated with ultrasound and then aspirated. Second, breast masses require either FNA or core needle biopsy, possibly followed by excisional biopsy. Third, any mass that is felt on exam must be further evaluated with biopsy, even if no abnormality is seen on mammogram. And finally, there's a convenient algorithm to help you remember the diagnostic process. So if you see a mass, then you go to the bilateral mammogram. Then from there, you go to the tissue sampling. And then finally, there's a possible further workup depending on tissue findings, right? So that's your diagnosis. Treatment section is going to be extensive, so bear with me. So I'm going to classify treatment based on the stage of breast cancer, right? So treatment of early stage breast cancer is as follows. Ductal carcinoma in situ, this is a pre-malignant condition that is at high risk of turning into a cancer. Treatment involves excision with negative margins and radiation therapy to the breast. And that's ductal carcinoma in situ. What about lobular carcinoma in situ, right? Well, this is a condition associated with an increased risk of breast cancer arising elsewhere in the breast. Treatment with tamoxifen may be considered, but close follow-up and observation are usually indicated. Let's move on to our treatment regime for invasive ductal or lobular carcinoma. Here, you want to consider three things. First, lumpectomy or removal of the lump followed by radiation therapy is equivalent to mastectomy. Second, when it comes to the sentinel lymph node, injecting dye or tracer in the tumor and identifying which lymph node takes it up can help the treatment process. The node or nodes are excised and assessed for metastases. Here, axillary node dissection may then be warranted only in a sentinel node or clinically node-positive tumors. And finally, a mastectomy for large tumors or based on patient preference should also be considered. In determining who needs adjuvant therapy, four things you want to keep in mind here. First, in general, any patient with an infiltrating ductal or lobular cancer that is greater than 1 centimeter or with positive lymph nodes should receive adjuvant therapy. Second, hormone therapy with tamoxifen for 5 years is effective only in patients with estrogen or progesterone receptor positive breast cancers. Third, tamoxifen reduces the risk of recurrence by about 40%. And finally, poly chemotherapy reduces the risk of recurrence by 25%. So, what about our treatment for advanced or metastatic breast cancers? Well, here, let me cover that. And there are five things that you want to keep in mind, one of which has to be unpacked a bit. First, first-line treatment for ER or PR, positive postmenopausal women, is going to be an aromatase inhibitor. And here, when I say ER positive, remember, ER or positive breast cancer, I'm talking about estrogen or progesterone receptor positive breast cancers. Aromatase inhibitors prevent conversion of adrenal androgens into estrogens by aromatase enzymes in muscle and as well as lipids. Your second line of hormonal therapy includes megestrol, acetate, or tamoxifen. If patients progress or are hormone receptor negative, then you should treat with chemotherapy. And two things here. This is the one that I have to unpack. First, initial chemotherapy can be a multi-agent, but once patients progress after first-line treatment, single-agent treatment is commonly used. And second, of active drugs that are going to be common here include doxorubicin, methotrexate, 5-FU, phenobarbital, as well as others. The two other things that should be noted for advanced breast cancer treatment, let me go over that shortly. First, Herceptin is a humanized monoclonal antibody against the HER2 receptor found on breast cancer cells, so you want to keep that in mind. And well, why did I bring that up? Well, this brings me to the second point, which is that overexpression of the HER2 receptor is going to be associated with a less than ideal prognosis in breast cancer patients. Patients with HER2 overexpression show responses to trastuzumab alone or in combination with chemotherapy. And that brings me to prevention because, you know, we want to make sure folks don't contract this stuff in the first place. Here are the screening recommendations. First, for breast self-exam, the data on efficacy conflict, but it is generally recommended that a monthly exam start at the age of 20. Second, for clinical breast exams, this should be conducted annually after the patient reaches age 40, and then every 3 years between 20 and 40 years of age. So annually after 40 and every 3 years when the patient is between 20 and 40. And finally, for your mammography, this should occur every 1 to 2 years, starting at 40, and annually after the patient reaches age 50. And that concludes this short session on breast cancer.